Welcome to the Gideon class. We've got some visitors in here with us this morning, and we thank you for coming our way. Jeffrey and Emily is not normally in here, and GS is back there with them, so welcome to the Gideon class, guys. Wanda will, while we're talking about GS, we'll go ahead and say about Wanda. She's very weak right now, and so the mornings are rough for her, so she wasn't able to come this morning. But y'all remember Wanda in prayer when you pray and just ask the Lord to give her strength. She's still trying to get over all this pneumonia and everything that she had several times here, and so GS, is that pretty well covered? Okay. And all the rest of you, it's good. I know some that's been in the other class, and so they're back, and I appreciate that. Again, it's good to have Jackie here. He's been here two Sundays in a row now, and I believe I saw you Wednesday night, didn't I? Yeah, okay. All right. We got Roy. Okay, so Roy back there has got half Leroy's name. Okay, all right. It is good to see you today, and we thank the Lord for the ability to be in church. And boy, I tell you, it's just wonderful to have a place where we can come and let down and just hear the Lord's word. Hear everything taught, the lessons and everything. So thank the Lord for this place that we can come and get the Word of God given to us. I'll go over some of these things pretty quickly. The Discovery class is downstairs, and Bobby Brown and his wife is still teaching on that, and there's still some folks that are going down there. Also, we're going to have Kevin Brown from the Armed Forces Baptist Missions tonight, so he'll be in the evening service. And then, of course, the Wednesday night family fellowship. And then on Saturday, August the 16th, the men's prayer meeting at 7 o'clock. And also on Saturday, we've got a couple more things. We've got the men's golf tournament. I don't know if any of y'all play golf, but I hope you signed up for that if you do. And play putt-putt. That'll work. Quilting circle is at 1 until 3 on Saturday also. So we've got a full week ahead of things going on. Next week, after that, we've got Daniel and Deanna Brown that's going to be here from Germany at the evening service. And then the Appalachian Fair is going to start on Monday the 18th. So I think there's one or two slots left back there that can have somebody to sign up for that if you feel led. And everything else... let's see here. Pastor Herbman and Graham Forn is going to take a mission trip down to Brazil. They're leaving on Monday morning the 18th. So y'all do remember them in prayer for that mission trip. I'm sure Brother Graham will have a lot of things down there to take Pastor to and show him. So just pray for that trip for them. God will keep his hand on them and keep safety around them everywhere they go. So let's go ahead and talk about our prayer requests now. First of all, Philip Talbert is not able to be here today. He's got a little problem with his eyes where he's been using some drops and things that are really, I guess you'd say, aggravating his sight. And so keep Philip in your prayers. hopefully this week, maybe he can get that straightened out. So let's see, we also are praying for Beulah Larkey. Mark says that she's improving a little bit each day, but she still has a problem where they put the pacemaker in with her arm, so she's staying at home. Just pray for her. Still praying for Lillian Constant, and praying for Summer Scroggs, who is going to leave sometime on tomorrow to go down to Nashville and Vanderbilt, and we just pray that she gets this treatment, this stuff that they're doing to prepare her for surgery later on. So just pray for her safety, pray for this to work for her. Maddie Brown, we're still praying for her over in Africa for her safety. Also, Leslie Farmer, Megan Jenkins, Joyce Jenkins, one of our shut-ins that fell and broke both broke one of her arms in two places. Yes. Yes. Okay. That's a good report. So she is doing better, and her arm may turn out a little bit crooked, but she's still doing good. She's 90 years old, thereabouts. So we thank God for watching over her. Also praying for Wanda Simpson and Miss Betty Robinson. We're thanking the Lord for her. And want you to remember this list of people that we have. There's a lot of folks that are battling cancer. A lot of the shut-ins, Miss Lawson's still over at Kingsport, but she does go to her doctor on Wednesday. So she may be to the point to where that they will release her to come home. So still praying for all of them. And let's see here. We have three on here for salvation that I would like to keep them in front of you: Leo Dennison, Stephen Bear, and Corey Bear. So remember them and pray that God will save their souls sometime soon. We're praying for that soon. Okay. Happy birthday today to Anthony Lilliford. His birthday will be tomorrow. On the 16th, Diane Johnson, Archie's wife, will have a birthday, and then Holly Ladina will have a birthday on the 16th also. And anniversaries, Mr. Phil and Debbie Deacons will have one on the 21st. So Phil, congratulations on your anniversary coming up there. Okay? Okay. Now I'm going to try to hear. You know I have a hard time hearing, but has anybody else got anything that they would like to say? Any prayer requests? Okay. All right. Back there's Joe and Pat. Good to see y'all. Yes, sir? Unspoken. Okay. Any more? Okay. Well, before we go to the Lord in prayer, Brother Philip can't be here, so Mr. Jeff Wills is going to teach to us this morning. And a lot of y'all know Jeff. He's taught in here, I think, once or twice before. And Jeff's been a pastor. He's been a teacher. He's served the Lord in several different places, and we're so glad to have you, Jeff. And one thing that's remarkable right now, just a few weeks ago, Jeff underwent open heart surgery, and he's remarkably healing up and back on his feet, and we thank God for that. So after we have prayer, Jeff will be up here and bring to us what God has led him to do. Okay? Father, we thank you, Lord, for today. We thank you for your blessings and your love for us. And Father, we just want to ask that you be with our class time this morning. And Lord, we do miss Philip. He's suffering with his eyes. We pray that you will touch him. God, you will help him to get better with this. And Lord, raise him back up again, Lord. Father, we pray for these others, Debbie Deacons. We pray for her. She's having a rough time with this chemo and everything. God, we pray that you will touch her and give her strength. Miss Wanda Simpson, Lord, she's suffering with this weakness and all of this. Even though she's home, she's still suffering with that, and we pray that you'll bless her. And then, Father, we have so many others that are on this list. Lord, we just go down through here and we lift the list up to you, God. You know all about each and every one. And we ask that you will bless, and please, Lord, keep Summer safe as she goes to Vanderbilt. Lord, I pray you'll give her traveling grace. You'll give her help there, Lord, at that place so they can progress on. And Father, just thank you for all that you have done, what you will do, Lord. And we want to praise you and lift up your name this morning. Bless the class time again. Bless our 11 o'clock service. And we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.
See if you're on.
Am I on? Yes, I'm on. Praise the Lord. Is this a water holder? That's pretty cool. Before I even get started, I'd like to thank everybody that has been praying for me, my surgery, the cards that were sent. I've tried to get back with most people when it comes to the cards. I appreciate everything that you've done for me. And I've had military friends and people I was in the sheriff department with, and people across the country, because I'm one of those that's moved from one place to the next. I think like we counted one time, Janine and I, I've lived in about 47 different places in 68 years. So my dad was in the military, moved all the time as well, and I'll probably be mentioning that here in just a few minutes. And I just have met a lot of great people and great men of God, men I really respect. And so I thank the Lord for allowing me to stand here. It's going to be, I think, on the 14th. It'll be about a month away from surgery, the 14th of this month, 14th or 15th. So it'll be about a month away. I'm feeling a lot better, not completely better, because I think, I say that because I think the meds that they give you, they wear on you. They want to put you to sleep, and it's just ridiculous. So I'm going to see if I can get off some of that when I get a chance. But thank you so much for the prayers. I want to start off asking you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. 2 Corinthians 4. And what I want to talk about, because I don't know if I'm going to be speaking again, I just want to talk about the ministry. And I want to say this. We're all getting older, but we need to continue to serve the Lord and focus on the things of God and focus on souls and focus on the ministry until the day we die, until the day we die. When I went into the hospital, I wasn't sure I was going to come out, but I was going to get to see my little wife again or not. All I did was just give her a thumbs up because they grabbed me almost as quick as she said, "Are you taking him now?" And I said, and I just gave her a thumbs up. I said, "Lord, I'm in your hands now." And thankfully, he's let me be with her a little longer. But if I would have died during the surgery, you know what? I would have been in heaven with a lot of good people. A lot of good people and been in heaven with the Lord. I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. I want to talk a little bit about the ministry. That's been kind of on my heart, and I want us to examine ourselves just a little bit while I'm teaching, and just think about your life and where you are right now. And it's easy to get older. You get a little tireder. The days can wear you out, but don't quit. Don't quit on the Lord. Don't stop serving the Lord. Let's read verses 1-6. It says, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, not handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of God of truth, but by the manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if the gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not." And of course, it's the God, there's little g, it's this talking about Satan. "Lest," it says in this verse, "lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine unto them." That's what happened when we got saved. The Holy Spirit worked on our hearts. When we got saved, we knew we were sinners. We knew we needed Christ. There wasn't anybody making us do this. There was nobody putting their hands behind my back and saying, "You're going to go forward and get saved." It was the Holy Spirit convicting me, and I understood I needed the Lord. And I, from that day, I've always known that God is real. And I've always known that God is, and I always know the Holy Spirit is real. And then when the Bible talks about the Lord not leaving us comfortless, I know that that is true. That is true. And when I've been under conviction because of my sins, even after I was saved, I know that God is true and He's alive, because only God could do something like that. It isn't a man that made me feel that way. It wasn't anybody special that made me feel that way. It was the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. But in verse 6 it says, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we look at your word and as we talk about the ministry, I ask, dear Heavenly Father, that you'll just encourage us to be faithful, encourage us to do as much as we possibly can, Lord, to not stop serving you until you take us home. Thank you, dear Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. My dad, when I was growing up, had a lot of aphorisms, if you will, adages. When we would say we can't do something in the house, he would look at us and he would have some choice words for us. That's the way my dad was. He's a military man. I grew up in the military. I remember the first time he decided to give me my first chore. He gave me a trash bag, and that trash bag was as big as I was. I was just a little tyke. It's about 6 decades ago. And if you remember 6 decades ago, trash cans were metal, with metal lids, and they didn't like to come off. And so I was taking that bag out there and trying to set it down, and then I was trying to lift that trash kit lid off, and I couldn't get it off. And I said, "Well, I guess I better go face the music." I went in and told my dad. I said, "Dad, I can't get the trash can lid off." He said, "What?" I said, "I can't get the trash can." "You know what can't do? Can't die in the poorhouse. Can't die to nobody. That's what you're going to be. You keep telling me in life you can't do things." And that's the way my dad was. He didn't say it meanly. He just said it. So he went out there, I remember, and he went out there to take that trash can lid off. And I remember him struggling to get that trash can lid off. And I had a smart mouth a little bit, even though I was just a little kid. And he finally pulled it off of there, and I put it in there, and as he walked away, I said, "I just want you to know, I loosened it up for you." And he says, "You didn't do anything." But he had a lot of adages. Mom cooked for us, and she cooked for a lot of kids. There was a lot of kids in my family. And if food fell on the floor, I heard this clear back to when my dad was young. 5-second rule, pick it up and eat it. Mom took the time to cook it, you're going to eat it. No matter where the food had been, you're going to eat it. And that's the way my dad simply was. My dad was a hard worker. And as you can imagine, he was had very little respect for quitters, laziness, and people who didn't think. That's the way my dad was. A man once said this, "A man who quits in life is not worth remembering, and his name will soon be forgotten." And look at verse 1 with me, if you would, one more time in our reading. It says, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not." We are not to faint in the ministry. The idea is quit. I could probably, most of you have been in church for a long time, and I ask you, if you raise your hand, because you know somebody that just quit on the Lord and quit church, and you'd all say, "Yes, I have." And I think that's what it's telling us. We're to faint not. We're not to stop serving, not start living for the Lord. That's what I think this is saying. Folks, Christians should not accept complacency in their lives. And it's easy, especially as we get older, to be more complacent. And I know that. I'm too tired to go do this. I'm too tired to go do that. Well, I've already done 2 things for the Lord this week. I'm just going to relax. And so we can't get complacent. In the Christian life, it's mostly the subtle things in life that causes and hinders us. But here, Paul, in this reading, he was being attacked for his character. They were saying things about him that weren't true. And they were taking the things that he told them out of context. They were twisting his words. So Paul, and I want to say this about Paul, we got to remember this, as much as we love Paul and we think about all the great things, he was flesh and blood just like we were. He could have quit on the Lord, but I believe Paul reflected back to what he had in Jesus Christ versus what he didn't have before he met Christ, and he's encouraged. And if we would think about that, this privilege of being in the ministry is such a blessing. To avoid quitting on God, the Christians should make a daily habit of rejoicing in what they have in Christ Jesus. And I want to make 3 points this morning in about this reading. First of all, number 1, we'll read it one more time again. It says, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not." I want you to see that in Paul's writings, and Paul understood this, we have the word ministry, and it's preceded by articles or adjectives, if you will, this, the, and thy throughout the Bible. Throughout the Bible. What it's saying here is Paul recognized, and we recognize, we should recognize, this is Christ's ministry. It's not mine. It's not mine. It's not anybody's. It's Christ's ministry. It's Christ's ministry. It's the greatest ministry that we can be a part of. When I was small in Amarillo, Texas, when I was small, I'll get to Amarillo, I'm sorry. But when I was a real small kid, I was playing football, basketball, and baseball. I picked up on those things, and I liked them, and I wanted to play them year-round. And all of a sudden, my dad gets orders, and we're moving to Panama. So at Panama, I get there. There's no basketball. There's no football. And all there was boxing, and you could play baseball, and then I joined the swim and track team just to fill in the gap. And I asked my dad to put a basketball hoop outside my house. And he got this big old panel board or whatever, put a basketball hoop up there, raised it up about 10 feet, and put it out there in the yard. I was the only one that had a basketball hoop, and probably in Panama, period. But we'd go out there after school or whatever, and I would shoot till about 10 o'clock at night, 10:30, until my dad said, "Put that up and get in the house. Get a shower, go to bed." I said, "Yes, sir." You know, but my brothers and sisters didn't come out, nobody, just me. I just shot out there religiously every single night until my dad made me go to bed. The only other thing you could do was boxing. So I did that, and I swam. And that was really all there was to do at that time. However, after Panama, we got stationed, sent to Amarillo, Texas. When we got to Amarillo, Texas, they said there was going to be this basketball league. And when I showed up to the basketball league, there were hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of kids playing. And there was going to be an A league, a B league, and a C league. The A league was the number one league, and I wanted to play in that. I didn't want to be in the B, I didn't want to be in the C, and I was just a little kid and I was saying that. And so they had us dribble, they had us shoot, they shoot free throws. Well, all these coaches watched us. And I kept saying, man, I hope I get picked, I hope I get picked. I want to be on the A team, I want to be on the A team. And the first round came around, I didn't get picked. I said, oh, no. But there was going to be at least eight more players picked on each team. But I said, oh, no. And then I heard a coach say, oh, that's just all the, well, he said, I heard a coach say, and I didn't know anybody there. I heard a coach say, well, all the coaches picked their sons first. I said, okay, well, maybe I still got a chance. Maybe I got a chance. So I had all these coaches, these 10 coaches for the A-League, and only one of them was black. And two coaches picked two players, and that black coach, he said, I'll take that guy right there. He pointed at me. Man, I was so excited because I was going to be on playing in the A league. And when I walked over there and he just told me, he says, look, you're a good basketball player. That's why I picked you. And that made me feel pretty good. And so I got to play in the A league. But can I say that? I was excited about being in the best league, if that makes sense. And I wanted to play with the best. Now, let me say this. If you're born again believer, you belong to the greatest institute, the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you think about that, what a privilege that is. You're on the A team when it comes to the ministry. What a blessing to be able to serve the Lord. I don't see why people would quit and leave the church and find fault when this is the greatest thing anybody can do in the world. 1 Timothy 1:12 says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who hath enabled me, for he counted me faithful, putting me in the ministry. You're all saved, I'm assuming that are in here, and you're saved because God wants you to be a part of this ministry. One of you is just as important as the other. There was a play going on at a Christian school, and they had a big auditorium. It was a big school. And this one boy, he wanted to be Joseph, because it was about Joseph and Mary and the birth of Christ, the manger, the stables, all that stuff. And he wanted to be Joseph. And when the staff got together, they made him the innkeeper. He was not happy. He was going to get revenge. And for 2 weeks while they practiced, he thought about, what can I do to get back at everybody? So here's the play is going on and everything, and here comes Joseph, this leather little kid, Joseph, who was picked, and Mary, and they came up to the inn, knocked on the door, and said, sir, do you have any room for us to stay in? And you know the story and things. So what did he do? He said, yeah, come on in. I'll give you the best room, the best food, the best of everything. And there was a hush in the audience. What in the world? That's not how it's supposed to go, you know, and everything. But the little Joseph that was picked, pretty smart character. He says, wait a minute. And he looks into the inn. He says, this place is a pigsty. I wouldn't let Mary stay here for nothing. We're going to the stables. And got the show back on track. Well, he didn't fail to realize something, that little kid, that everybody in the play is important. You can't have the play if everybody's not doing their role, whether it's small or great. This is a ministry. You may not be the pastor. You may not be the deacon. You may not be somebody you think you should be. But you know what? You have a role in this church, whether it's your gifts from the Lord, your talents, your ability to encourage people, You have a role. You are important if you are a member of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. And so is everybody else that's in this building. It's important. Three things, persevering in the ministry. Throughout Paul's writings, the New Testament, the word ministry, like I said, means the ministry is all about us as individuals. We're all important in this ministry. The second thing I want us to see is look at verses 2-4 with me. It says, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe, and the light of the glorious gospel of Christ the light of the gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. My mouth is dry. Many people twist the scriptures to fit their own motives, to salve their own conscience. And I want to give you an example of that. When I was pastoring, I used to go out and knock on doors all the time, and I'd go out every day maybe and knock on doors for an hour or an hour and a half, depending on how things were going each day, and try to build the church up and find people to come and visit with us. And I would meet all kinds of people. And in our area where we were at, we had two women preachers pastoring churches. And this is an example, if you will, of ignoring the scriptures. People will ignore the scriptures. They will ignore the scriptures. And the closer we get to the Lord's coming, the more prevalent things like this are going to go on. The world calls it social equality. Feminists denounce this thing about male pastors as antiquated and chauvinistic. I would go from one church to another, and I would face one problem after another. I had people come up to me, because I had a radio ministry, and come up to me and on the street corners, and because there was a lot of Church of Christ in that area. Boy, did they, there were a lot of them. They'd get mad at each other, and they'd split and go start another church, and they would just do one after another. And I did a radio ministry for about 4 weeks. And I taught on salvation of Jesus Christ, and I taught how Jesus and Jesus alone saves, and I would have them come up, and I'd be downtown passing out tracts and fight, and some people would walk up to me from them. They were really mean people. They'd walk up to me, and they'd go, I'm saved, baptized, and I'm going to heaven. Like that, you know? And I would look at her and say, who are you? Are you trying to convince yourself or me? And I know what they were getting at, because, you know, there were a lot of Church of Christ, a lot of Christian church people there, and they don't believe like we believe. Most buildings that have church names, they're different, because they don't believe what we believe. And they believe that you got to be saved, baptized, and you got to be a member of their church. And I don't know if you even know this, the Christian church believes that the Church of Christ believes that the Christian church people, even though they believe exactly like them, but because they use instruments, they're going to hell. They're going to hell. And they believe we're going to hell because we're not members of the Church of Christ or the Christian church. And that's not biblical. It's not biblical. In verse 2 of this reading, it says, handling the word deceitfully. False teachers work hard at convincing people. But you know, my whole life of going out witnessing and talking to people, the people that I've had the privilege of leading to Christ, I just told them about Jesus. I just explained to them why they needed the Lord. I remember one man, I knocked on his door. I was there to see his wife and kids. She wanted me to come visit So I took my deacon with me, and one of my deacons and I said, we went and knocked on the door, and here was this big man. I mean, he was every bit as tall as me, big, strong-looking guy. Told me, I said, I was here to come here, I guess, to see your wife. She wanted to see me, but she's not here. He says, no, she's at the cowboy church doing something. I said, okay. So while I was there, I talked to him. I said, hey, let me question, do you go to church with your wife? And he said, well, sometimes. I says, you consider yourself a Christian? He says, well, I don't know. I don't really know. I said, you've got a really nice truck. And I said, what size engine's in that truck? And he told me, I says, what kind of truck is it? I said, what kind of, and I started asking things about the truck. I says, you know a lot about that truck. He says, I sure do. Don't you think if you had eternal life and that you were going to heaven forever, you'd know why you're going? And he says, that makes sense to me. I said, I'm just asking you. I would be considered a privilege to come in and show you in the Bible how to be saved. And that big old man said, come on in. He took the newspapers and everything were all over the couch. I remember that. And he just took it all and he just threw it over there. And I remember Roger, my deacon, went over there and he sat and he was just praying. And I was showing him in the Bible how to be saved. And that man started crying and he trusted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. And I didn't do anything but talk to him. I didn't have to wrestle him down, didn't have to fight him, didn't have to insult him, didn't have to do anything. All I did was just tell him about Jesus. And that's all we've got to do, is just tell people about the Lord. Sometimes we don't like to tell people and talk to people because we think they're going to fire back at us, and our pride keeps us from doing it. We've got to be humble if we're going to be in this ministry. The third thing I want us to see, the ministry of Christ in verse 5. It says, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Paul reiterates the purity of his motives here to these folks. He offered himself as a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul was basically a slave to whoever he was talking to. He was humble. And he was always, always, always. I think he was probably as gentle as could be, even though we sometimes see Paul as a really tough guy. I believe he was as gentle as could be a lot of times. Humility is not denying the power you have. It's realizing that the power isn't in you, but it comes through you, through Jesus Christ. You know, all I have to do is just speak and talk. The Lord has to do the rest. I want us to understand we need to stay faithful to the ministry. Don't count yourself out. Don't quit on the Lord. And the fourth thing I want us to see in verse 6 is it says, for God, who commanded the light to shine in the darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. God, who pierced the darkness at creation, is the God that brings great light into dark hearts on this earth. I remember being in Amarillo, Texas, sitting, if this was the church, I'd be sitting somewhere back there where, back about the halfway back there, and I remember the guy preaching at Westside Baptist Church on hell and heaven. And I, for some reason, was paying attention. And I, for some reason, was under conviction. And that day, he gave an invitation when everybody stood up. I stood up there holding on to the pew. I wanted to be saved, but I wasn't going to go up in front of all those people. I wanted to be saved. And a gentleman came up behind me, and he tapped me on the shoulder, and he said, young man, have you trusted Jesus as your personal Savior? He must have seen me holding on to that. I don't know. And I said, no, sir. He said, if I go with you and show you in the Bible how to be saved, will you let me do that? And I said, yes. And so I went up with this guy, and I trusted Jesus Christ, and I was so much conviction. I didn't even think about him too much except for what he was saying. I trusted Jesus Christ, and guess what? That anxiety, if you want to call it, that conviction I had just disappeared. I was as happy as could be. I knew I was going to heaven at that moment. I don't know who that gentleman was. I don't know that I ever even talked to him afterwards. But when I get to heaven, after I spend a lot of time with Jesus, I'm going to go find him and I'm going to hug his neck and thank him for coming and talking to me about the Lord, about the Lord. One of the ways we know that, I won't say that we're out of the will of God, but we're not serving God like we should, is we don't have a care for souls. We don't have a care for souls. I always find out that the one thing, and I'm going to have to go, it looks like, one thing that I've noticed in my Christian life, when I don't really care about somebody's soul, it's because I got something going on in my life that's wrong, or something that I'm doing that's wrong, or some kind of thinking that's wrong. And then I notice I can go a whole day and I could care less if I give somebody a track or talk to them about the Lord. And I don't want to do that. I don't want you to do that. I don't want us to quit on the Lord. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this privilege that we have to be in the ministry. It's your ministry. Help us to understand that. Help us to be humble. Help us to care about others. Help us to understand that we are important. Everyone is important in this ministry. I ask that you'll just, Lord, work on our hearts. Help us to love people. Then the greatest privilege in the world is leading someone to Jesus Christ. There is nothing else that matches that. But Lord, help us to be an encouragement to our brothers, to our pastor, to this church. Help us to say kind things to each other. Lord, and help us realize that this is your church. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.